Let's go to Luke chapter 7. But I'm going to refresh a little bit. And I wasn't necessarily planning on heading in this direction. But I feel like this is where the Lord wants us to go. And so the message is on forgiveness, but it's when God is silent still. It's still in that series. And so we're going to kind of veer into forgiveness a little bit this morning, because if you are alive, you have to deal with either forgiving or not forgiving. Amen? All right. So when God is silent, what do we do when he's silent? Even during the hard times and trials and difficulties, trials and difficulties, they can come just because we're in the world, but they can also come because we have an enemy who's always against us. But there's another way that they can come, and that is from the mess that we make, from the decisions that we make. Amen? Nobody in here has ever made a bad decision, right? All right. So we're all on the same page. I mean, it happens. We make, you know, sheep. The Bible relates us to sheep. Sheep are dumb. I'm not saying we're dumb, but I'm just saying sheep are dumb. And so sometimes our decisions aren't the brightest. And one of the things that we have is when we make a dumb decision or a wrong decision, a lot of times we try and fix it. Can I just give you some advice? Don't. Just stop. And let God begin to lead you. Just ask for forgiveness, repent, draw back unto the Lord. Let him begin to fix things. And whatever he says to do, then do it. But I've often found that when we make a mistake and then we try and fix it, then we make a bigger mistake. And we make it much worse than what it needs to be. And so just let him try and fix it. So this, I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7. We read this last week. And then we'll get to Luke in a minute. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." I mean, if he would have just stopped there, that would have been enough. Amen. The Father of all comfort. Verse 4, "who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And as we think about this, you know, we can read this, and sometimes if we're not going through anything and we're not afflicted right now, then we don't understand this. But when do we need comfort? We need comfort when there's pain, right? And so Paul is talking about this, and he's talking about how God will comfort us. He's the God of all comfort, which means that when we go through our struggles, when we go through our pain, then God's going to come along and he's going to comfort us. Okay, verse 5. "For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure." Isn't that a great two words put together? Patiently endure. Why couldn't he have said just endure? But he has to put that qualifier in it. We have to do it patiently. "And the same sufferings that we suffer, our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." So he's talking about sharing in his pain, but also sharing in the comfort. And then we went to Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12. And in chapter 12 in particular, he starts talking about the discipline from the Lord and how it's painful. But there's a comfort that God brings us if we'll be willing to go through the process. But I love 2 Corinthians 1 when he's talking about God being willing to comfort us. He knows. He remembers how we are. If we allow him to comfort us, then we can comfort others with the same comfort we've received. But last week I shared with you that if we don't receive that comfort from the Lord, if we don't allow him to help us in our pain, in our time of difficulty and trial, if we don't allow him to come in and comfort us, then we have nothing to offer to others. So, and I talked a little bit at the end about fear and forgiveness, that if we don't allow God to heal us and bring comfort for our fear, then we can't bring comfort to others who are in fear as well. And so it's important that we allow God to comfort us so that we can comfort others. And one of the biggest struggles is forgiveness and unforgiveness. And so I want to look at that this morning. And that brings us to Luke chapter 7. But before I read it, I want us to understand that forgiveness is a decision and a process. It's a decision that we make, but then it's a process that we have to go through. All right? And I think the world is in need of godly forgiveness, because what we see in the world nowadays is that as soon as you disagree with them, as soon as you make a mistake, then we're written off, and the culture or the cancel culture just rises up and they just want to annihilate you. And so as we see what is going on in the world, we as a church have to figure this out, because we're the answer. We're the light. And if we can't forgive, then it's no wonder that the world can't forgive. Because the world doesn't know forgiveness yet. But if we have it and we don't walk in it, then it's not doing anybody any good. So that brings us to Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked him, speaking of Jesus, to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, now remember, he's just saying this in his heart. He's not even speaking this out loud, but Jesus knows. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. I think that there's a little bit of arrogance here on this Pharisee's point when he's saying this, but it got dealt with, I think. Verse 41, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, which was customary. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, which was customary. But from the time I came, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. And that was customary to a point. It wasn't necessary, but it is customary on certain occasions. But she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. Isn't that awesome? How do we know that she loved much? Because of the things that she did for Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And this is about remembering that we are forgiven. And so we have a responsibility to forgive others. We have a duty to forgive others. And I don't have time to this week to go into a lot of the scriptures pertaining to it, but when we've been forgiven, when we've received the forgiveness from God through salvation, and then we choose not to forgive others, we have a serious question in our hearts and in our minds. And I would dare say even of our salvation. We will look at that in a minute. God puts a strong emphasis on forgiveness, and he does it for a reason, because it cost him his son. And if that's what it cost for us to be forgiven, then we need to extend forgiveness to others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So, forgiveness for us is a remembrance of the forgiveness that God has given to us. When we fail to remember that God has forgiven us is usually when we fail to forgive others. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says this. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, this is after he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And then he talks some more, but we're just going to look at this morning. But verse 14 alone is a strong statement. He says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So there's something that's conditional here, and it's found in verse 15. He says, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, plural, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses, plural. And I'm bringing this up because I remember reading this. I was a junior in college. I was away at Virginia Tech, and I'm reading this scripture. And not only was I reading this scripture, but I went to church, and the service, for 2 Sundays in a row, this scripture was read and other scriptures. And so, you know, I might not be the brightest bulb, but at least I light up. Okay? And I'm thinking to myself, after hearing this for at least 10 days, I'm thinking, God, I'm in trouble. And here's the reason that I was in trouble. I had so much hatred and anger and rage towards my dad because of what he did. And I'm reading this scripture and I'm realizing that I haven't forgiven my dad. And so if I haven't forgiven my dad, my heavenly Father isn't forgiving me completely. And I'm in trouble. I want to be forgiven. Now, I had already received the Lord. But now I'm coming to this, and you know, it's kind of like growing up pains. So I had to make a decision. But before I make that decision, I want us to know something. in my heart, I felt justified in hating my dad and being angry with him. I felt justified. You might feel justified as well. The pain is real. I know the pain that I felt from what he did was real. And it was so real and it was so strong in me that it turned inward in me. And when I was a sophomore in high school, some of you have heard this, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. And they changed my diet. They put me on medicine and nothing changed it. And the doctors were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to do. And, you know, they did this for until I forgave my dad. As soon as I forgave my dad, it came down. They told me to have it monitored for the rest of my life. And so I have. And as soon as I forgave my dad, because I'm reading this scripture, and then I started praying. I'm like, God, what do I do? I want to forgive him, but what do I do? And he said, forgive him. And I said, okay, I forgive him. And then he said, write him a letter. So I wrote him a letter. And then the next time I had my blood pressure checked, it was normal. Isn't that awesome? So if I wanted to be completely forgiven by God, I had to forgive my dad. And I did. But in this, I learned that forgiveness is not just a decision, but it's a process. And here's the process. For years, I struggled thinking and trying to be certain that I had forgiven my father when every time I thought of him, I had all of these negative emotions arise. I had all of these negative thoughts arise. And I would think to myself, why is this happening? Because I have forgiven my dad. And yet the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings, they were the same ones that I had before I forgave him. And the anger and the hatred and the rage. And I'm like, you know, this is not good, but I've forgiven him and I don't understand this. And then God spoke to me. He said, you have to tell your body. And you have to tell your thoughts that you have forgiven your dad and they need to stop feeling like that. You need to talk to your emotions. And you need to tell them to stop because you have forgiven your dad. Because I knew I had forgiven my dad. You know, there was no doubt about that. And so, forgiveness is a decision, but it's also a process. And so what I learned through this was that my body, my emotions, my thoughts had to be crucified. Isn't that a fun story? I had to deal with them. I had to speak to them. And this is how you crucify the things that don't line up with God's word. You begin to speak to them. And I began to speak to them. And I would tell them, you have to let go of this. You have to stop this because Richard has forgiven his father. And now you're going to come into agreement with the fact that he is forgiven. You're going to have to agree with Richard that in the inside, his spirit man, he has forgiven his father. And so you're going to come into agreement with that. And I had to do that Father's Day, his birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Every time the negative feelings arose, I would have to speak to them, and I would say, And the more you speak to them, the easier it gets, the better it gets. And then you start to catch yourself, and you say, we're not going there today. That's freedom. That's freedom. And so I want to encourage you that you can change your thoughts towards somebody. You can change your emotions towards somebody. You can change whatever you need to, especially in dealing with forgiveness. But it may be that you have to speak to yourself a lot. And I'm telling you, it's a process, because when you first tell your body and your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, that your dad is forgiven and they need to settle down, man, there's a temper tantrum that goes on inside of you. Because they're not going to lie down and say, oh, that's what it is. No, they argue with you because they've been boss for a long time, right? And now somebody else is coming in and being boss, and they don't like that. So I want to encourage you, if you've struggled with that, forgive. That's the decision part. But then the rest of it is you have to talk to yourself. And, you know, it's nice when you look forward to Father's Day now. And you can send him a card. It's nice when you can go out and see him for his birthday and he's still alive, going on 95, still getting around. It's nice when you call him or he calls you and you don't have that feeling in your stomach of dread. That's freedom. But it happens with forgiveness. So we have to learn to forgive. It's a decision, but it's a process. One more thing about forgiveness that I want to touch on this morning is, we're all human, so we all have this struggle too. One of the things that I've found out from being human is we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. You know, it's easier for us to forgive somebody else. It's another thing to forgive ourselves. And I want to encourage you to do that. It's amazing that we can extend the forgiveness that God has given to us. We can extend it towards somebody else who has hurt us, harmed us, whatever. And we offer them forgiveness. But then when we make a mistake, when our own failures come forward, we have such a hard time forgiving ourselves. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that we have to. We have to learn to do that. And here's how you do it. You do it the same way that you do with forgiving and all the emotions and the thoughts and everything that comes up in your body. You have to say to yourself, yes, Richard made a mistake, but Richard is forgiven by God, and Richard forgives himself. And so these thoughts, these emotions, my body, you're going to come into agreement with the fact that we're forgiven. We have to do that if we're going to go on with God, if we're going to grow up into all that God has for us. And we have to do it because I believe that the world is waiting for the church to rise up and take its place and say, this is how you forgive. Because the church is the light in the darkness. And so we have to be able to forgive others, but we also have to be able to forgive ourselves so that we can give that comfort to others. It's not easy, but it's a decision, but it's a process as well. And we've all made mistakes where we want to be forgiven for. And so begin with forgiving yourself. The world, again, seems that as soon as someone disagrees with you, that nowadays the tendency is to shut down and to write them off. And then we think that they have no value to us. We can't be friends anymore. We can't speak to one another kindly or with patience anymore. And it's really scary how the world has become like this. And I hope and pray that it isn't because the church hasn't done its job. But I'm afraid that it is. Because what do they see us do in the church? How do they see us responding to things? You know, it's amazing to me that we want to call this place a hospital until the sick show up. And then as soon as the sick show up, you know what sick people do? They make messes. And, you know, we say in our minds that we want them to come, but then when they come and they throw up, or they do other things, then we get all bent out of shape. And so I'm wondering if the world is acting like it is because the church has acted like it has for a while, but I believe that God is switching things around. You know, it's amazing that we want the world to act godly, and yet there's no godliness in them, and yet the world is wanting us to act godly, and we have it, and we don't. In Matthew chapter 18, I kind of hate to bring this up, but, you know, there's a little bit of Peter in all of us. This is towards the end of the life of Jesus, and so they've been walking with him for 3 years, and so you think they know him, and so Peter's had this revelation. And let's just read it, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I will forgive him? Now, he's asking this with, he's going to give Jesus the answer. Don't do that. Just let him answer ourselves. As many as 7 times. So Peter thinks that this is an awesome thing that he's asking Jesus, and he's going to reveal his heart that, you know, he's willing to forgive up to 7 times. And Jesus' response in verse 22 is this. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Isn't that awesome? Now, some of you may be like me, and when I read that, I would think like this. Well, is it 77 times? Is it like for one sin? Like, if they keep doing the same thing, do I have to forgive them that long? Or is it 77 different sins? So if they do the same one 2 or 3 times, then I only have to forgive them once and I can hold them a grudge the next 2. I mean, you know, why not? So Peter thinks he's doing such a great thing, and Jesus gives him more to do. And I just wonder, do we have that same mindset for ourselves? Because how many times have we said to ourselves, I can't be forgiven. I've done this too many times. How many times have we said that? I think we need to get what Jesus answered in Peter and say, look, he'll forgive me as long as I need it. As long as I'm in need of forgiveness. And so I want us, as we start this fast, you can stand with me. You know, it's always good to start a fast off with repentance. And forgiveness is like repentance, isn't it? And so I want us to, I want it to stir this up within you, because forgiveness is such a hard thing for us. It's a struggle, and I'm just barely touching the tip of the iceberg on this. And I usually try to speak on forgiveness 3 or 4 times a year, because we all need it. We need to be reminded that we have to forgive, that we have been forgiven, that we need to forgive ourselves as well. So during this fast, we've got 3 weeks. Can I ask you, if you will just ask the Lord, say, Lord, help me to forgive others, but also help me to forgive myself. It's kind of like putting the mask on in the airplane. They tell you as adults, put yours on first and then put your children's on. You know, it might be easier for you to forgive somebody else, but you know what? Ask the Lord to help you to forgive yourself. Because you're going to make mistakes even after you come to the Lord, even as you're walking with the Lord, even as you're mature in the Lord, you're still going to make dumb mistakes. It's just life. And so we have to learn to forgive ourselves. And I bet you that if we learn to even forgive ourselves, it'll be easier to forgive others. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the beginning of this fast. And Lord, I pray that as your people here, that we would give ourselves to seeking after you and trusting you. But Lord, I pray that even in forgiveness, that we would allow you to examine our hearts in the next 21 days. And Father, I pray that if we have a struggle with forgiving others, that you will help us with that. And I pray that if we have a struggle forgiving ourselves, that you will help us with that as well. And Father, I sense that if they're like me, that we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. But Father, teach us how to do that. Help us to remember and to remind ourselves of how much we've been forgiven by you. And so it's only right that we pass forgiveness on to others, but we also continue to walk in that forgiveness for ourselves, for our failures. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, I promise you that if you do this fast, you will be looking better next week than you are today. Hallelujah. Have a good week with the Lord.